lies a completely new understanding of the single cell. According to the mainstream view, the brain of the cell resides within its nucleus, where the genetic instructions for life, DNA, also reside. The thinking goes that if the brain is in the nucleus and the nucleus contains the instructions, then the instructions control the cell and therefore us. However, quantum biology has discovered something very remarkable that directly challenges this. The brain of the cell does not reside within the nucleus after all, but in the cellular membrane, which provides an interface with the environment. In a nutshell, this means that life is designed to be cooperative rather than competitive. This new biological view makes enormous sense when considered alongside quantum physics, which holds that all of life is interrelated and holistic rather than separatist. In the old view, we humans are the victims of our selfish genes. In the new view, there are no victims, only a huge interconnected and interdependent cosmos. The original Chinese name for this third hexagram of the I Ching is an unusual expression that is traditionally translated as difficulty at the beginning. This is a profound insight because chaos is about beginnings. Modern scientific chaos theory is founded upon tiny variations in initial conditions within a system. In terms of the evolution of life, however, the single cell's prime directive is indeed to survive at all costs, which is what forms the consciousness of this third shadow. The greatest challenge in evolution is always at the beginning, because every cell has to learn to fend for itself. Only those that become strong will survive. Likewise, human beings are locked into single-celled consciousness at the frequency of the third shadow. This is the same consciousness that dominates across our planet, and its byproduct is what we call chaos. However, chaos is really only a perspective that conceals a hidden pattern that inevitably leads to order. If life truly were that selfish, it would never have made it off the starting block. According to the law of fractals, the same law that governs single cells also governs individual human beings, which means that early in our evolution we were programmed to survive. Our survival instincts are rooted in the primitive aspects of our brains, which became dominant as we learned to evolve from our ape-like ancestors. Most of our modern beliefs and ideologies are based on these ancient aspects of our awareness that are rooted in fear, and we remain walled off within our individual cells. Our mainstream scientific thinking is still based on the divisive worldview that there exists no organizing force in the universe other than chance. Likewise, our religious thinking is locked into the same single-cell consciousness, and so we have divided the world into an inside and an outside, an us and then God. What then does all of this really mean, and how does it affect you in your daily life? One answer lies in the polarity of this shadow, the 50th shadow of corruption. It means that you are only trapped by your own thinking. It is you who corrupts the data within your DNA by only allowing in a frequency that activates its most primitive components. The wider you open yourself to the chasm that lies ahead of you, the more you will realize that there never was any chaos. It was all simply the difficulty at the beginning. It is this third shadow that makes human beings afraid to change, despite the fact that we are wired to change. In order to evolve, a human being must embrace chaos rather than try to protect against it. The third shadow causes human beings to distrust life itself and therefore adopt the old survival strategy known as dog-eat-dog. Incredibly, when you trust in chaos and allow your environment to mutate you rather than trying to control it and stay the same, The greatest magic is revealed to you, that in chaos there is and always has been a vast underlying transformative order. Repressive nature, anal. Our deep-seated fear that life is simply based on chance leads to one of the first great human control mechanisms, that of anal retention. Despite the discoveries made by Freud regarding this phenomenon, it has been known about for millennia by many systems of yoga and meditation. Fear activates a very subtle restriction of the muscles around the anus, which in turn affects our entire breathing pattern. As our breathing becomes shallower, the fear manifests through our need to maintain control over our lives. Almost all human beings suffer from some level of anal retention, ranging from mild to acute. It is only when we begin to touch the core of the primal fear within us that our system begins to let go of this deep-seated tensing of our being. The more we feel and allow the fear, the more we let go into the embrace of the cosmos, and the more we realize how deeply we are held and protected by it. Reactive nature, disordered. The adverse reaction to our fear of life is to express it outwardly as rage. The result of this is the creation of the very thing that terrifies us, chaos and disorder. These natures have absolutely no predictable direction, rhythm, or purpose. They bring into the world the very vibration that terrifies the repressed nature, sometimes in the form of aggression, sometimes anarchy, and always destruction. Again, there are varying degrees of this disease, from the mild to the acute. Every time we stop trusting in life and believe in our fears, we begin to co-create the vibration of chaos. Whenever that fear turns into anger, even in the most mundane circumstances, it carries a destructive force that will inevitably come back to haunt us. In this sense, all anger that is not owned fully strengthens the frequency of the third shadow in the world. The third gift, innovation, the end of island mentality. What is so wonderful about the third shadow is that despite its narrow, fear-based, mono-celled outlook on life, it also holds the secret to our future. All one has to do is look back at our own evolution to see where it must inevitably lead, to the third gift, the gift of innovation. As single-celled organisms multiplied all across our planet, evolution prepared itself for a quantum leap, the great transition into multicellular life. If it were true that deep within the nucleus of every cell a selfish drive were paramount, then it is highly unlikely that any two cells could ever cooperate, since their very design would drive them to compete. The genius of the cell and its true brain must therefore lie where the quantum biologists say it lies, within the cell's membrane. We know that the membrane allows the single cell to respond to its environment, but it goes one stage further than this. It must allow its DNA to be influenced by its environment. This is the foundational principle of quantum biology, and it is regarded as nothing short of heresy in the face of current mainstream biological dogma. What we can now see is that life does indeed work in this way. Millions of years ago, single-celled consciousness made a quantum leap into multi-celled consciousness, which means that the survival-based programming within DNA must have either mutated or adjusted itself in order for the cell to be assimilated into a greater organism. When we apply the same metaphor to humanity, what we see is the empowerment of the human individual through the third gift of innovation. Innovation is built into life. In other words, life itself is designed to transcend its own initial programming, difficulty at the beginning, and discover new and higher forms of consciousness. Beyond selfishness and chaos lies cooperation and innovation. Innovation only occurs when you truly begin to think for yourself. This may sound like an everyday occurrence, but in fact it is relatively uncommon. In order to be truly innovative, you have to attain a very high frequency that allows you to see beyond the collective world view. The gift of innovation is far more exciting than simply being creative. It implies that you have permanently escaped the fear-based perspective of the shadow frequency. Innovation thrives on optimism, although this is not the kind of optimism that is built upon hope. True optimism is the dynamic energy at the heart of creation. Through the third gift, you begin to tap into the higher aspects within your own DNA. It is not that the DNA itself changes, but that the frequency passing through it activates its hidden programming. This is how single-celled life gave way to cooperative life, and it is how human selfishness must and will give way to collective consciousness. The whole is far more powerful than its individual human components. That is the rub. Innovation implies cooperation by its very nature. In order to mutate life to a higher order, you must integrate and synthesize. The path of innovation broadly means to improve something through the introduction of a new element or elements. Those who work with the third gift are life's great synthesizers because they understand the primal law wound into the substructure of all life, that unity equals efficiency. This is the integral message encoded in the codon group known as the Ring of Life and Death. It is all based upon change, which is what the Chinese words I Ching mean, the book of changes. Life is continually mutating, and as it mutates, it transcends and includes those levels and views it has just transcended. Who, what, and wherever you are, if you are not continually transcending, then you are dying. The third gift also teaches us something else wonderful about synthesis, which has to do with another often overlooked human gift, the gift of play. If you truly want to see the genius of innovation, you only have to watch a young child at play. When seen through the eyes of the third shadow, children appear to create nothing but chaos. But to the higher eyes of the third gift, a child is the living expression of genius. If we can recall the image of the cellular membrane allowing in certain frequencies from the environment which then impact on our DNA, this is exactly what a young child mirrors back at us. The child both mutates its environment, as any parent knows, but is also mutated by its environment. The gift of innovation requires, then, that adults also allow themselves to be shaped by their environment. This means that you must be as open-hearted and open-minded as a child. All preconceived notions, dogmas, or beliefs must be discarded when they no longer serve the developing synthesis. Innovation also requires a deep sense of inner trust. As you continue to work with this gift, you continually update and change your position. Even though you may not yet see how everything fits together, you feel the underlying unifying spirit, and above all else, you have enormous fun. Through the gift of innovation, humanity must now improvise in order to survive the coming centuries. Just like those early single-celled organisms, we must mutate to become a complex multi-celled organism. Just as those early organisms developed a nervous system culminating in a brain, we developed our governments and our modern global communication-rich culture. However, our greatest innovation is yet to come, which is literally to relocate our brain from the cranium to the far more advanced solar plexus system. Just as the cell's true brain is in its membrane rather than its nucleus, so our true brain is through our emotional system. Like the cellular membrane, the solar plexus system determines what frequencies are allowed in and out of the body. Thus, as the individual mutates to receive higher frequencies, these frequencies unlock the higher organizing principles of collective life embedded within our DNA. It is not we who make this decision, but life. These codes are already waiting inside us, threaded along those mazy pathways deep within our DNA. This is the sacred secret. Life is designed to keep on innovating, and the old human with its single-celled island mentality has had its day. The third Siddhi, innocence. All play and no work. In discussing the third shadow and its gift, we have travelled into some fairly complex territory in order to understand the true depth and relevance of this third gene key. Actually, it is really one of the simplest of all to understand once you move out of mental territory. At the absolute zenith of its frequency, the third Siddhi is about innocence. This Siddhi reminds us that all of life, and that includes human beings, is essentially innocent. Our most common misconception as human beings is that we are not a part of life. Our mind seems to tell us that we can control life, but in truth, this is an illusion born of the brain. Human beings are an instrument of life, an experiment in life, but we can never be masters of life as long as we are only a part of life. Human beings remain a brain-centered species today. We have seen how deeply we feel the need for a center or a nucleus to be in control of life. This need is expressed within every level of our thinking and at every level of our society. It is epitomized in our need to find a God. The thought that no one might be in control terrifies us. What would happen if the world had no governments? What might happen if we had no religion, education, police, army, or money? Because we do not trust life, the only answer we can give to this question is chaos. The truth is that we do not know what would happen, but the child inside us longs to find out. That is what this third Siddhi is all about. It is about no barriers, no laws, and no work. Just play. As a species, humanity has hugely misjudged itself. We represent the cutting edge of consciousness on Earth at this moment in time. One day, when the human we see now is a relic of the past, we will look back at this time through the third Siddhi and wonder to ourselves why we became so serious during this epoch in our evolution. From the viewpoint of the third Siddhi, we are eminently laughable, in the warmest possible way. That human awareness had to go through a phase in which it believed itself to be the center of the universe is an enormous joke to the third Siddhi. However, to a child, play is absolutely serious. The toy in the child's hands does become the center of their universe, just as our individual lives become the center of our universe. We are innocently unaware of the magnitude of our great good fortune to be alive and playing out this epic exploration of consciousness with all of its toys in the world of form. One day, inevitably, the child will grow up. Humanity will evolve towards its awesome final destiny of global and celestial harmony. But one thing is certain, consciousness will never grow up. It will keep on exploring, playing, and experimenting forever, all because its nature is innocence. Life is innocent. We are life, and therefore we are innocent. That is the equation for the next millennium. As the third Siddhi comes into the world, which it will do very shortly, a great remembering of our innocence will emerge in humanity, because the first vessels of the new human destiny, spoken of in the 55th gene key, will all be children. The strange thing about these children is that the consciousness within them will never grow up and become serious. their awareness will function in an entirely new and different way from our current brain-centered awareness. Their brain will be the environment itself. It will be inside every other human being, creature, plant, stone, and star. We cannot yet imagine that kind of cosmic consciousness, but it will soon come pouring into the world like a great breaking wave. Humanity will change from within, as life always has. It is shaped by its own environment. If it becomes a threat to that environment, then life relays that message back into its cellular structure, causing it to mutate a more efficient program. This is not a decision that can be made by humanity, but by the whole organism. There are no losers in this game, because every cell innocently contributes its own unique information to the whole. In the process of mutation, new life codes are activated, and any cells that do not mutate will simply die off. This is a totally natural and organic process that is already beginning to occur to humanity. We fear it because we do not trust our own innocence. The great human fear is of losing our own uniqueness. If we lost that and became an amalgamated soup, it would indeed be a step backwards in evolution. However, evolution does not travel backwards. It only knows progress. By giving up our own individual identity, we actually create another greater individual identity that is both collective and individual at the same time. The human body itself is the prime example of the direction that humanity is moving. Our body evolved from single-celled amoebas responding to their environment. Not a single cell within our body can afford to be selfish or we would die. Life spontaneously discovered in its innocence that the easiest way to keep evolving was to integrate all those competing individual cells into a single body. What incredible things life discovers when it is left alone to play. This is the central message contained within the Ring of Life and Death, that the chaos of play is to be deeply trusted and revered. Play is the expression of genius, and genius always finds a new solution to the challenges it meets along the way. We are all really children, children of the cosmos, and our only real job is to let go of our seriousness and find the delight in every exquisite jewel that life places before us. From observing this third gene key and its various levels of frequency, you can perhaps feel the wonder and the scale of the experiment you are involved in. As Einstein said, God doesn't play dice. The human brain was not designed to grasp insights as profound as these. The certainty of order within the universe is a feeling that can only be captured by a more advanced system of awareness in human beings that our mystics have called by many names. Above all, it is equated with the human heart and the feeling of love and unity that lies between all creatures. Your true home is not located within your body, nor is there somewhere in the universe a single center through which everything is orchestrated. The center you are looking for is the feeling of love itself, which is the omnicentric manifestation of your eternal state of innocence. Fourth Gene Key, a universal panacea. Programming partner, 49th Gene Key. Coden ring, the ring of union. 4-7-29-59. Physiology, neocortex. Amino acid, valine. The fourth shadow, intolerance. The folly of youth. When the ancient Chinese named this fourth hexagram of the I Ching, they gave it the wonderful name Youthful Folly, and in doing so, they showed a profound understanding of its lower nature. The fourth shadow, the shadow of intolerance, is rooted in the mind's habit of becoming tangled up with human emotions. Intolerance is best understood through its relationship to its programming partner, the 49th shadow of reaction. Because human beings are governed by their emotions, the general emotional state of humanity is unstable and chaotic. We tend to react to our whims instead of attuning to the quiet, clear guidance that lies within each of us. In reacting to our own and others' emotions, we decide that what we feel must be the truth, and our mind agrees with us. The fourth shadow is essentially a misuse of one of the great gifts of the human mind, logic. The power of this fourth gene key is the power to read and solve logical patterns, and as we shall see in the case of the fourth gift, this ability leads you to a universal understanding of the rhythmic patterns and tendencies of all life. However, at a low frequency, based on emotional reaction or overreaction, this shadow uses the power of distorted logic to support and uphold its volatile nature. In other words, if the fourth shadow has a bad day and decides it doesn't like someone, it will find a whole list of logical reasons to support its dislike. This is what intolerance really is, a slanted perspective of logic. At the shadow frequency, the mind is actually given the authority to make important life decisions, and this is often disastrous because its true role is not to decide anything. Its true role is to understand and communicate. The aptness of the name Youthful Folly becomes apparent when you see what happens as this shadow reaches an extreme emotional state. At the shadow frequency, you identify absolutely with your emotional state, which defines the way you live your life. Any unresolved emotional pattern is taken up by your mind and built into a highly intricate logical framework that masquerades as the absolute truth. Through the medium of the fourth shadow, opinions, judgments, and resentments are transmuted into convictions and certainties. In this way, people blind themselves with their own logic and can become deluded and sometimes dangerous. Intolerance is based on a subjective distortion of logic, which only measures those patterns that a person wants to see, rather than seeing all patterns from both sides of an argument. The power of the fourth gift of understanding is founded upon this ability to objectively assess all aspects of a viewpoint, thus avoiding the pitfall of taking sides. The human logical mind is actually not designed to take sides. The essence of logic is its foundation upon objectivity, but in the hands of fear, objectivity dies and logic becomes subjective, even at a collective level. You may wonder how something can be both collective and subjective. Racism and prejudice are examples of genetic or ancestral fears that manifest through certain population groups who then reinforce these fears through subjective logical argumentation. Even science is rarely truly objective unless it remains open to all counter-arguments. In the case of science, a counter-argument might come from religion, which challenges logic as the only means of acquiring truth. Only when science is skeptical of its very own nature can it really be regarded as truly objective. The fourth shadow forms a very subtle undercurrent to all human mental structures, from the scientific to the spiritual. It cannot help taking sides. The underlying nature of all the shadow states is fear. In the case of the fourth shadow, fear is projected onto others and then reinforced through taking a defensive and sometimes offensive mental position. This is how intolerance is created, and it is sometimes extremely subtle. Intolerance bases its position on opinion rather than fact. If you took the time to examine the other side of the argument, you would immediately understand that your opinion is rooted in a deep-seated emotional fear of something. The great problem with logic is that it can only disprove itself, which does not make human beings feel at all secure. Therefore, most people choose one single side of an argument because it makes them feel a certain mental solidity. Ironically, however, mental assuredness cannot make the body feel safe. The body can only feel safe when it surrenders to the moment without wanting something else. The fourth shadow is endlessly restless in its need to examine patterns and resolve questions. One answer is simply replaced by another question. The role of this gene key is to understand, but understanding cannot come through the mind itself. This is the essence of the fourth shadow's dilemma, and it keeps many people from realizing its gift. Understanding, as we shall see, only comes when you realize that your mind can never truly understand anything. Before you come to this huge inner realization, you will live your life under the influence of the fourth shadow and its persistent promise that it will one day arrive at an answer that brings you lasting peace. This is youthful folly, because only after much anguish and experience do you come to realize that there are no intellectual answers that bring about such peace. There are only two options for the fourth shadow. You either settle for a one-sided opinion and deny the other side, or you become lost in the fruitless quest to bring an end to the feeling of uncertainty that lies deep within you. Unless you make the leap into the true understanding of the fourth gift, you have no choice but to be caught in eternal misunderstanding and intolerance. Repressive nature, apathetic. When the mental dynamism of this fourth gene key is frozen by the unconscious fear of repressive nature, the result is an apathetic mind. An apathetic mind is a collapsed mind that is no longer bright or intelligent, but has given up on understanding anything and sunk into a kind of mental lethargy. These people believe themselves to be less intelligent than others, when in fact they are really paralyzed by an unconscious fear. Their fear is that they will have to assume responsibility for themselves, their decisions, and their actions. Instead, they choose to have no opinions about anything. Such people can pretend to be quite enlightened and very open, but there is a vital energy lacking inside them. Thus, they can have problems in motivation as well as with their health. To escape their apathy, they simply have to start thinking again, but without letting their thinking rule their lives. Reactive nature, nitpicking. In the reactive nature, thinking does rule a person's life. The reactive nature projects out its eternal need for answers to questions, and it does so in the belief that these answers will bring them a sense of security. When they discover that this is not so, they become angry and blame someone, often the person or system that they supposed would give them all the answers. These people cannot let go of their need for some feeling of resolution, so they make their mind the authority for bringing about this feeling, only to be endlessly disappointed. These people hone in on the most irrelevant details, unconsciously looking for a vent for their frustration. When they find such a detail, it affords them the opportunity to criticize or complain, and thus release some of their pent-up anger and tension. These people, above all, need to find a way to let go of the hope that their mind can ever bring them solace. When they do this, they can finally stop projecting their eternal disappointment onto others and begin to find a new awareness arising in them outside of their mind. The fourth gift, understanding. Quantum koans. If you are someone with powerful intellectual capacities, the fourth gift represents a wonderful breath of fresh air for you. At the same time, it requires a huge quantum leap in your whole being. The gift of understanding has nothing whatsoever to do with knowledge. Knowledge is what your mind thinks it needs in order to take away its permanent feeling of unease. But knowledge can never bring a sense of peacefulness. At most, it can give you the hope of that peace, although, ironically, it is this very hope that sustains your intellectual quest and keeps you within the confines of the shadow frequency. Only true understanding can bring peace along with it, because true understanding lies outside the domain of the mind. Understanding is of the whole being, and it does not and cannot require agreement from the cognitive capacities within your brain. If you allow the fourth gene key to run its natural course without giving it the responsibility to make decisions, it actually does something quite magical. It propels your awareness out of the mind. The very desperation of the mind to come to understanding through knowledge constantly thwarts itself by looking at life from every conceivable angle. At a certain point, all this pent-up energy explodes into a quantum leap out of the mind. This is precisely how the concept of the Zen koan operates. A koan is a paradox given to the mind to solve, and at the precise moment when the mind has finally realized that its own logic can never solve the koan, understanding dawns. This quantum leap is true understanding, which is a feeling of knowing that floods your whole body and radiates from the solar plexus area. The gift of understanding is the only answer that will satisfy a person's dissatisfaction, and it must come about through the exhaustion of your mind rather than any other way. When you look logically at all angles of any concept, you begin to realize that nothing can ultimately be proved through logic, because logic can always be used to prove the opposite. When you finally see this, your whole being lightens, because you realize once and for all that the mind is of no use for resolving anything of real importance. This in turn releases the mind to do what it loves best, research and communicate and play. When the fourth gift is freed from having to solve your existence, it finally comes into its real genius, to play with the patterns of existence and arrange them in new and original ways. When you have the feeling of visceral understanding deep in your belly, your mind is no longer hampered by the need to defend your own viewpoint. In fact, you realize that all logical formulae can be manipulated to prove or disprove anything. The higher frequency of such understanding also brings with it the urge to be of service to the world, and you can use the mental alacrity of the fourth gift to follow the dictates of your higher self. This newfound genius at seeing the underlying patterns of life also affords you direct access into another aspect of this fourth gift, the ability to understand people. Through seeing all sides of any mental construct, the gift of understanding sweeps aside the possibility of intolerance and uses its gifts to create new roles or systems to bring positive change in the world. The programming partner of the fourth gift is the 49th gift of revolution, and this energy always accompanies true understanding. The very nature of understanding is to bring about improvement for society in general, since the dynamic energy within this fourth gift is still experienced as a certain restlessness, whereas at the shadow level this was the restlessness to resolve your own insecurity, at the gift frequency this becomes the restlessness to resolve the insecurity within society in general. Thus, understanding always carries within it the seed intention to solve the problems of intolerance and division in the world. In the coming genetic shift, triggered through the 55th gene key and the 49th gene key, the role of this fourth gift will undergo some very important genetic changes, which will gradually sweep through humanity. The involution of powerful psidic energy from the highest aspect of this archetype will bring about a minor but extremely important genetic mutation in this fourth gene key and its associated amino acid, valine. This mutation will essentially phase out the fourth shadow of intolerance. The children that come into the world carrying this new sequence of mutations will not be emotionally polarized. Their mental system will not run riot throughout their lives. The fourth gift of understanding will govern the way in which their minds operate from birth. They will bring about a social revolution on a global level, and this revolution will be based upon a logical understanding of the folly of the existing systems and structures. New formulae will come into the world through this fourth gift that will undoubtedly lead to technological breakthroughs that solve long-standing problems rather than create new ones. The fourth city, forgiveness. Merciless forgiveness. Not only will the coming shift bring about a social revolution, but it will also bring an end to one of the great searches of modern man, the search for knowledge. Through the rupturing of the fourth shadow, understanding will take the place of knowledge, and much of the thrust of our modern world will die down. We will no longer need to logically make sense of the paradoxes of existence, because our new center of awareness will give us a physical and energetic understanding of existence. Thus, the role of logic in our world will alter. It will no longer be used to defend our prejudices and fears, and it will no longer be used for purely personal benefit. Logic, at its highest frequency, is a means to orchestrate the most efficient society possible. True efficiency is based upon a higher holistic understanding of living systems. Once our understanding shows us how connected we all are to each other, we will see for ourselves that selfishness is the most inefficient frequency of all. The fourth gift forms the launchpad for an even more refined frequency, the city of forgiveness. Forgiveness is born out of understanding, but it occurs when a being makes a leap beyond understanding. Forgiveness is a stage further on from social revolution. Just because a person has understanding and good intention does not mean that they can orchestrate a perfect society. History has shown that revolutions never change the world, they just change society, and usually only briefly. The highest possibility of the 49th gene key is the city of rebirth, and this is the city that always awakens alongside forgiveness. As we have seen, understanding leads to the urge to serve the totality through instigating some kind of social reform. Forgiveness, however, is a pure psidic state, and as such, it has no sense of restlessness at all. All psidic states are the end of the line. They represent the absolute transcendence of our genetics and the end of being human. Forgiveness is the thunderbolt that is released when a being attains Christ consciousness. It is like a kind of cosmic warmth that melts the borders and boundaries within the world of form. Forgiveness allows the truth behind all form to be seen. Further than that, it allows one to see through and thus become one with truth. There exists a great mystery about the power of forgiveness concerning time. Forgiveness represents an involving force rather than an evolving force because it literally comes from the future towards the past. It is a divine quality that descends, like Christ, into the world of form. In descending into human form, forgiveness lays its hand upon all humanity and works its way back through time, burrowing into our collective past, releasing and freeing energy that has lain trapped and stagnant for eons. Forgiveness moves down the ancestral bloodlines of all humanity in this way, dissolving genetic blocks and lifting karmic curses wherever it travels. This is why the Siddhi of forgiveness is often credited with being capable of inducing miracles, because it can release a karmic debt that has stagnated for generations. As such, debts are released. Those in whom they live can move through incredible transmutations. These mysteries are explored in more depth in the 22nd Gene Key through a transmission known as the Seven Seals. The fourth Siddhi is a primary agent of divine grace. That is to say, it does not adhere to human laws. It concerns the resolution of old debts at all levels. At a purely individual level, the whole process of human incarnation is based around the notion of karmic debt. Until you have paid off all your debts, particularly through your relationships, you cannot escape the game of incarnation and reincarnation. Because it is also a part of the Ring of Union, the fourth Siddhi's ultimate role is to bring humanity into a collective union through the resolution of karmic debt, individually, racially, and mythically. In the material realm, we will see this manifesting one day through nations forgiving each other their financial debts. Forgiveness, as such, is really a collective phenomenon, which is why we humans have never been able to control it or fake it. It falls upon you like a surprise, and something inside you opens up that was previously choked. It really is a miracle. As more beings bring this Siddhi into the world, they play their part in the releasing of humanity's collective karma. Such beings hold on to nothing in life because they have moved beyond understanding into pure truth. The forgiveness that we know of now is but a tiny shadow in comparison to the beyondness of this fourth Siddhi. Pure forgiveness is a universal panacea that radiates in every direction throughout time and space. It is the final answer to end all questions, and when the first atoms of forgiveness finally travel back to the very beginning of time, as they already have, the world we know will begin to dissolve. When all is forgiven, then forgiveness itself no longer exists, only truth. The final destiny of the fourth Siddhi is to rupture the connection between the past and the future, between the black and the white, between the yin and the yang, to finally bring an end to the logical fabric of space-time itself. True forgiveness is merciless because it returns everything to its source and is a force of pure annihilation. The ultimate goal of forgiveness is, in fact, to bring an end to the world of form itself. Fifth Gene Key, The Ending of Time. Programming Partner, 35th Gene Key. Coden Ring, The Ring of Light, 5-9-11-26. Physiology, Sacral Plexus. Amino Acid, Threonine. The fifth shadow, impatience. The new genetic code. It is the fifth gene key that really forms the backbone of the 64 gene keys. Containing all the codes and patterns of life, the fifth gene key represents the great digital library of consciousness in form. These codes lie coiled and concealed within every single living cell, wound into the famous helical patterns of your DNA. The fifth gene is also one of those gene keys that is found in all life forms, since it alone maintains the very rhythmical patterns that allow an organism to stabilize within its particular environment. Furthermore, the fifth gene key is a great mystical chess piece within the genome, since it also unites all these separate organisms into one great universal rhythm, the pulse of life. Because the fifth gene key binds all living forms through these universal patterns, at its lower frequencies, it tends to display a deep distrust of life. This manifests in human beings through the fifth shadow of impatience. We know that all human beings carry inside themselves a deeply ingrained fear of death. What you may not realize is that there are many layers around this fear. At the level of your personality, there is your outer fear, the prime fear pattern you absorbed through the events of your childhood. This personal fear, in turn, gives way to the great collective fears. For example, the fear of change. At the deepest level, however, at the very precipice of awareness, lie the most ancient human fears, and this fifth shadow represents them. These ancient collective fears stem from one prime source, the fear that there is no underlying order to the universe. If the frequency of your genetics is tuned into this fear, no matter what you do to try to bring a sense of stability to your life, your body itself will never feel safe. This is, in fact, the normal state of consciousness of the mass of humanity. Within the fifth gene key lies the great secret of the timing of life. This gene key is about trusting or not trusting universal rhythm and natural timing. It sets the rhythms of the seasons. It fixes the timing of cell growth and decay in every living creature, and it governs all patterns of animal and human migration. As we have seen, all distrust concerning the timing of life manifests in human nature through the fifth shadow of impatience. This impatience is one of the greatest causes of disease on the planet, for it will undermine your health and well-being and cut you off from the very heartbeat of life. In a certain light, impatience can be viewed by human beings as a positive trait, since it can goad you into action instead of remaining complacent. This is a mistaken impression, since impatience is rooted in agitation, and all action arising from agitation is out of harmony with the whole. There is a vast difference between acting out of impatience and acting out of resolve. Impatience is not a natural feature of human character. Rather, it is the result of a loss of your natural rhythm at a biological level. If you are feeling impatient, your breathing has become shallow and your nervous system is overactivated. Your core feeling is that all is not as it should be. Of course, this feeling is absolutely untrue. Everything is always exactly as it should be. What has happened is that you have fallen out of your natural state, the state of trust. Impatience is always rooted in the mind, and as such is unique to human beings because of the unusual nature of our neocortex, which processes information in such a way that we perceive everything as happening in time, with a past, a present, and a future. The only way to escape impatience is to escape the mind and its realm of time, which is precisely what happens at the higher frequencies of this gene key. There is so much you can learn about the 64 shadow archetypes by looking at them through their harmonic pairings. Psychologically, you can find the root of all human issues and complexes within the 32 shadow pairings. Each of the shadow pairings is literally set up to create obsessive patterns. The programming partner of the fifth shadow of impatience is the 35th shadow of hunger. These two states literally feed on each other. The hunger to escape the feeling of insecurity leads to impatience and vice versa, and it is all driven by the fear of time running out. In the modern world, you can really feel this deep-seated fear rippling through humanity. We have forgotten that life itself sets the pattern of evolution, and that we are merely the agents of those patterns. From time to time, both in our personal lives and at a collective level, natural mutations occur when the stability of life is overturned. If you can enter deeply into the spirit of such times, you will come to realize that nothing is really out of balance and that all will reveal itself in time. Because the fifth gene key connects all life forms into a wider pattern, you have to learn to realize that nothing happens by chance. Everything is connected to everything else. So when you find yourself moving through a difficult period, it means that all life is moving through a difficult period. The themes that punctuate your daily life are universal themes that are lived out by all humans and all creatures simultaneously. If you look at the state of the mass consciousness on our planet today, you will see a universal mutation underway. Our entire species is undergoing a deep genetic quantum leap. As you come to terms with your personal fears, humanity comes to terms with its collective fears. The very fact that you are listening to this right now is telling you that life is examining itself in enormous depth, and in doing so, it is discovering all manner of anomalies or glitches in its programming matrix. As each glitch is observed, it is deleted, and as each fear is accepted, it diminishes. Beneath the old genetic code, a new one is thus revealing itself. In summary, this fifth shadow of impatience is nothing more than a low-frequency human response to a particular set of environmental conditions. Like all the shadows, it is simply a matter of perception and attitude. Time always moves according to your perception or mood. If your breathing is calm, rhythmical, and deep, then time appears to dissolve. At the highest frequencies of this fifth gene key, you do not even notice time. The more you become aware of your own impatience and restlessness, the deeper you begin to sink into your true center, and the less you are concerned with time and timing. This is the birth of a higher frequency, and that frequency is what we call patience. This fifth gene key contains the most beautiful of equations. Acceptance equals patience, because the deeper you enter into your fears, the more patient you become. Repressive nature, pessimistic. It is interesting to consider that pessimism is really rooted in impatience. One of the key features of all repressive natures is collapse. If you have a repressive nature, then you have at some level moved through some kind of energetic collapse. When impatience drives a person to give up on life, it manifests as pessimism. Pessimism is nothing but the vestige of a complete loss of rhythm in one's life. It is an expression of a deep-seated fear that nothing can or will ever get better. Pessimism pulls one into a downward spiral, feeding on itself over and over until it finally ends in a crisis or some kind of psychological and/or nervous collapse. If a person has been swept into pessimism, there is nothing proactive they can do to break free. As their friend or an observer, you must trust that life will create a crisis for them, because eventually it will. Only such a breakdown or breakthrough has enough energy to snap them out of their pattern. Reactive nature, pushy. The anger-based version of pessimism is pushiness. This is simply a different type of nervous system, and it reacts to impatience in an extroverted manner rather than collapsing inwards. Pushy people are constantly trying to force life's flow. They push others around, becoming tetchy and aggravated, and can suddenly lash out for no apparent reason. These people also tend to manifest very inharmonious situations where natural timing is out of synchronization and nothing seems easy, as though life were deliberately blocking one's path. Even so, these kinds of natures stubbornly push on, making the situation worse and worse until something or someone has to snap in order to release the pressure. You can see how resistance to the natural patterns of life eventually brings one to a turning point, both in the repressed or reactive natures. At such turning points, the only decision is really, do I want to begin living again? Whatever a person decides, it must be respected as a part of the wider pattern of life. The fifth gift, patience. The Library of Light. The antidote to impatience is patience.